You're listening to the Bethel Community Church Podcast. Our podcast normally showcases our weekly sermons here in Chicago at 7601 West Foster. Now, podcasts are great, but they do not replace the care and community you receive from the local church or from your local pastor. So we encourage you to come, join our community, or contact us to help you find a community in your area. We pray the Lord speaks to you as you listen. Enjoy. Thank our worship team for leading us this morning. Good morning, Bethel Church. You guys bear the cold and made it out here. God is good. It's a good day. It is a special day. It's not just celebrating Pastor Mark, but today we're closing out our sermon series on the discipleship pathway. This is new language for us, and if this is your first time here, our discipleship pathway is all about what we're doing as a church and what we're doing to move forward. If you've been here and you still don't know how this pathway affects you, you know, we're going to try to go through it again today and continue to put skin on those bones for us. But today's sermon is titled, You Can't Grow Alone. And we're going to be in Acts chapter 2, and we're going to jump around a little bit. So open your Bibles to Acts chapter 2, and we'll start there to open our morning. Coming into Acts chapter 2, this is post-resurrection, right? Jesus has died for your sins, and Peter has preached a message at Pentecost to some of the very people who've crucified our Lord, and they're cut to the heart. And in Acts 2:42, we're going to see the embodiment of some of the values that we have here at Bethel, and we'll go from there. So starting in verse 42, and they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and the fellowship and to the breaking of bread and the prayers. And awe came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were being done through the apostles. And all who believed were together and had all things in common. And they were selling their possessions and belonging and distributing the proceeds to all as any had need. And day by day, attending the temple together and breaking bread in their homes, they received their food with glad and generous hearts, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to their number day by day those who are being saved. I just want to say a quick prayer as we open up. Father God, you are an awesome and a mighty God. Lord, your word is good, and we see it here this morning. We see people who were once sinning and who even rejected you, Lord, that you've called them, and they were cut to the heart, and they've come to you. So we just ask this morning for ourselves, Lord, that you help us to look at discipleship and look at growth. And just ask that you bless our time together. Keep me free from error this morning. We love you. In Jesus' name, amen. So again, today, the title of the sermon was You Cannot Grow Your Faith on Your Own. And that comes to the whole point of this discipleship pathway, this series that we're in. Gather, grow, practice, and go. You've heard these words over and over again over the last 4 or 5 weeks. And really, why are we doing this? And if you're not new here, if you've been around for a while, you know we're in a season of a pastoral search. And this is an old, multi-generational church. Many of us have been around here for a while. And leaders here, what did we do? We looked and wanted to evaluate what we're doing. And we came up with a mission statement. You've already heard it once this morning, to proclaim the truth of Jesus and grow mature disciples for the glory of God. The cool thing about that new statement is it's not a new mission, right? This is what we've been about. These are the values we identified as a church. A couple weeks ago, Mark talked about gathering. He talked about that's importance. And all these things are about our discipleship. Gathering here at this morning, what we're doing now, and how this affects our discipleship. And we're learners, right? There's teaching happening here. And today we're going to look at this outside of the context of Sundays. Pastor Paul was up here a few weeks ago talking about go, right? And that's our Great Commission. And he reminded us why we do it. We're commanded to. He also reminded us very poignantly that people need Jesus. That's why he came. He reminded me of the excitement I had when I came to faith. And that should be motivating me to see that in the lives of others. And he cautioned us that we're only allowed to do this on this side of heaven, right? Scott Ball from the Malfers Group shared with us last week, and he talked about practicing, right? Practicing our faith, putting feet to your faith was how he talked about it. And in discipleship, through service and evangelism, we're going to be stretched and we will grow through that. And we'll pause on that for a second. Last week, Scott gave you an assessment for spiritual gifting. My question is, since last week, what are you doing with that information? Everything we're talking about today is the idea that we all need to be exercising our gifts that the Lord gives us. And we're going to keep going through that this morning. The main idea here is that before we introduce the growth step, we're going to talk about what discipleship is and what growing as a believer looks like. Pastor Paul was up here again 2 weeks ago talking about go, and he was up here kind of nervously throwing seeds everywhere on our new stage. He was, and that was okay. We all got over it, but a lot of work up here. But the thing that he was reminding us is that we have the responsibility to share the gospel indiscriminately with everyone. And one of the things he said, or something to the effect he said, was that we had that responsibility. And some of the truth that we want to get this morning, one is growth comes from Jesus. And just like sowing of seed, we all know that God is the one who changes our hearts. All God is allowing us to do is come alongside him as we sow those seeds. He does the work in us. Scott talked a little bit in Ephesians last week about those works before the foundation of the world that were created for you. And what we see in Romans 8:29 is God saying, for those he foreknew, right, similar language, right, he predestined us to be conformed to the image of his son. Growth comes from Jesus, right? And so what I want to tell you this morning is we foundationally have to remember that Jesus is in control of everything. It's important that we understand that the theological word for that is sovereignty, right? God is sovereign over everything. And I wanted to remind us that just like sowing of seed, he's giving us the opportunity to take part in our growth, but ultimately it comes from him. This should cause humility in us. We should wake up and realize every day that it's not us or our efforts. And to stretch the analogy of the seed a little farther, that humility that we should have, knowing Jesus is in control, is good soil for our growth. And this is so important. You can go to the Gospel of John chapter 15 and look at abiding, right? Jesus gives us this image of the vine. And he says, you know, if you're in the vine, you grow, you have fruit. But he reminds us, you know, growth comes from Jesus. He says, apart from me, there is no fruit. So if we know that growth comes from the Lord, we want to ask exactly what that fruit is. And the Bible paints a picture of it. Because the Bible's not a dictionary in this. It doesn't say discipleship equals this. It doesn't say growth, you know, here's the formula. The Bible paints a picture for it. Before we start this, I'm going to throw a little slide up. I was hoping to get an awe. That's a two-week-old puppy, right? This little puppy has a ton of growth potential. He's, Adina is probably, I've been bugging her for 20 years. This is, it's going to happen. This is given time, right? This puppy has growth potential. Given time and food, these little guys come in to be like this, right? That's Fred. I have good taste, I know. That's Freddie the Great Dane. You know, he actually just passed away. He's a Guinness Book World Record, 7 feet tall, 200 pounds of love and awesomeness. I only show this to you because really, for me, it's the picture of what growth doesn't look like for a believer, right? That dog given time and food, right? Yeah, you got a preview, right? Without any Bible knowledge or discipline, you can show the slide, right? It's a hot mess, right? And for us, given time and food, we're more likely to grow like horizontally than spiritually. It doesn't just happen. And the illustration is to show us that this pathway isn't just one step, right? We don't just do one thing. It's the whole thing. You know, if we're just gathering here all the time and we're not exercising our faith in other ways, the pathway is not being followed. We won't see growth as much. Enough of the puppy before I get in trouble. That's going to... But that's not what growth looks like. And the other side of this pathway is the idea that we never arrive, right? So we all should have that humility to know that we don't hit these steps, stop, and quit. These are ongoing and they happen simultaneously. It's the language of our church moving forward. You're going to see it written on the walls. You're going to see it all over the place. This is how we're speaking moving forward. But the Bible does paint a picture of what growth looks like. And I'm going to pick up where Randy left off a little bit a few weeks ago in 2 Peter 1. He referred to a list. And I love this list, and he stole my thunder on it a little bit, but that's cool. This list is great because all the characteristics we read in this list are woven together. You can't pick one out and take it. It's the whole package. It's one big brushstroke. So 2 Peter 1, verse 5 says, "For this very reason, make every effort to supplement your faith." And we'll come back to that. He says, "Supplement your faith with virtue, and with virtue with knowledge, and knowledge with self-control. And self-control with steadfastness, and steadfastness with godliness. And godliness with brotherly affection, and brotherly affection with love." And he tells you what they are, right? He says, "For if these qualities are yours and are increasing, they keep you from being ineffective or unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ." That list, that picture, it parallels with Galatians 5, right? That whole painting that we have of a believer who has the gift of the Spirit, what you see in Acts, that was the gift of the Holy Spirit they received. And it says, Galatians 5 is the fruit of the Spirit. It says, the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. And it gets against such things, there is no law. So what we're arguing for this morning is our growth. It's not about the outward things, really. We look at that list of characteristics and qualities, that fruit of the Holy Spirit. And it really speaks to the position of our hearts. It speaks about our character. So what does growth look like, right? The Bible's painting a picture of our character. And I feel we've had very good preaching here over the last 8 to 12 months. And think about things like the Sermon on the Mount. The meekness, right? That good soil of humility that I was talking about. Go to the next line there. Do we hunger and thirst for these righteous traits? And so an issue of first importance in this was that idea of supplementing your faith. This isn't like Jesus plus your effort. And we have to understand that from the beginning. This is us. It's like we're not even putting icing on the cake. We're just putting some sprinkles on, really. Jesus is allowing us, like the seed again, to take part. He's done the work. And I'm spending time on that because I think it's important that we can rest on a few facts. One, that we can rest assured in our salvation. Jesus has done the work when he's justified us. The second one is that Jesus, he's going to finish that work that he started within you. He's promised that. And I've left those verses in your notes for you. Big thing this morning is I don't bring these character traits out. I'm not reading these lists to you to ever cause anyone to doubt their faith if they don't see this in their life. It's the exact opposite. And we've been talking about this through all these series, the Sermon on the Mount, Koinonia, Colossians. All these series, all the fruit of those series has been things that should convict our hearts and help mold our character to be more like Christ. But there is a little bit of a warning there, right? If you don't hunger and thirst for these things, if your relationships are more bound with conflict, then you have no desire to exercise any of these characteristics in your lives, then I would encourage you this morning to talk to someone here at church. And that kind of brings us to the next point and the idea that we need this community around us to remember these truths. If you go back to Acts, what we read, verse 42 really sets out the values that we have for the Grow ministry here at church. It says, they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching, right, and the fellowship and the breaking of bread of prayers. And those are our three values for the Grow ministry: Bible knowledge, fellowship, and prayer. And it's important that we remember all of this is about discipleship. Pastor Mark talked about it. We're learners. Scott from the Melfers group likes to always remind us that a Christian and a disciple, it's a synonymous word. And we need to respect what those words mean. Discipleships mean relationships. If you're a disciple of Christ, it implies you're in a relationship. Right? And what do those relationships look like? Hebrews 10:24. I'm going to read that passage for you. Think of Acts 42, what we just read, and I'm going to read Hebrews 10. You tell me if these things look like they're, you know, a little synonymous here, or they parallel each other. He says, "Let us consider how to stir up one another to love and good works, not neglecting to meet together as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another all the more as you see the day drawing near." It's painting another picture of discipleship. You see that language, right? When we meet together here, and we'll talk about fellowship first as one of the values. Fellowship here at Bethel, right, a lot of times we've joked about it in the past, means food. We budget for it, like it's a thing. I was listening to a podcast this week, and we're not alone. Other churches were joking, fellowship equals fried chicken, is what I heard this week. But we know that fellowship has to be more. So as we examine this ministry, we look at what Hebrews said, that we stir each other up and that we're encouraging each other. And it's not just in general, it's in our walk and in our faith. You can look at chapter 2 of Acts again and see what that church was doing, right? They're caring for each other's needs. They're regularly meeting together and not just at church, right? And they're worshiping together. So we won't beat it up, but we know fellowship has to be more than just a social gathering in a sense. It should be fun. It should be together. But we should be here stirring each other up. And we want to develop that here at church. Next one would be prayer. Again, prayer. Why is that important to our discipleship? Why is prayer important to this discipleship pathway? Why did we value it as a church? One of the things as I was studying over the last few weeks to come speak to you this morning was just one observation that our prayer as followers of Jesus Christ is completely different from prayers of any other religion you'd find on this world. Even some of the some churches that we would share in the faith, in a sense, people who call themselves Christians, sometimes prayer is not name it and claim it or any of the other perversions of it. One concise definition I kind of read this week was the idea that we can come boldly before the Lord to respond to his word and what the world throws at us. There's a difference in what we do when we pray as believers and the relationship that we have with Christ. And by the way, like coming boldly before the Lord, that's just an amazing thing to come to the maker of the universe. And we're going to be in Habakkuk in the next series, and you're going to see a little bit of that, you know, so look forward to that. But think back on prayer to all of our lessons over the last few months from the Sermon on the Mount or Dr. Thrasher coming out, and think of all those lessons that you saw about the Lord's Prayer. And really, if we were to summarize that, what are we doing in prayer? It's the same thing. We're realigning our hearts towards those characters that we see in the fruits of the Spirit. We see it in Jesus himself. What did Jesus do? Our Lord prayed. He prayed before big events. He prayed after big events. He prayed in big groups. He prayed in small groups. He prayed with his close guys. Jesus set an example of the rhythms of prayer that we should have in our lives, and that's one of the values we had as we developed the Grow Ministry. We thought about who do we pray for, the sick, the hurt, the lost, people who are in sin, that they would come back. Prayer is a place where we can, what, speak God's word back to him. And just to close on the value of prayer, this is something I picked up from an author again this week. He defined it as this, as it related to your discipleship and growth. He said, spiritual growth is impossible apart from the practice of prayer. Just as any key quality relationships with other people, it's time spent in communication. So the key to a growing relationship with a personal God of heaven and earth is time invested speaking to him and listening to his voice in Scripture. It's important. Prayer's a huge part of our ministry. We want to make sure that it was woven into it. The last one you see there is Bible knowledge. And I could tell you from the beginning of all of our meetings as we developed our new ministries and our ideas about ministry was that Bible knowledge overarched everything. And I've said it before from the pulpit last time I was here, the only place we get God's word is from between these two leather covers, right? We don't look to experience or special revelation. The Grow team, as we were talking about this, wanted God's word to be a true light to our feet. We wanted to recognize that God's word is inerrant and that it's true in a world that's full of lies and nothing but perversions of the truth, right? That's God's word. And so to risk getting in trouble again, there's no picture, but if I went back to my analogy of a puppy, what happens if you don't feed that puppy regularly? Right? You won't have a puppy very long, or a healthy one at that. So the question is, in our ministry, when it comes to Bible knowledge, us as a church, when we come and gather together and we're doing this pathway, do we sit with expectation when we're looking at God's word? Do we come to these gatherings, our small gatherings, our large gatherings, do we come and expect to hear from the Lord? All right, so the idea from the ministry was that we want to be a church that isn't just sipping on the milk of the word, but is actually chewing on the meat of it. All right, so that gets to how are we doing that here at Bethel. And so this morning I'm telling you that growth comes from Jesus, and the Bible paints a picture of those fruits of the Spirit, that growth in our character. We said that growth happens here in the body, and I'm telling you that you cannot grow your faith on your own. We could boil that down to, one, we need to be in relationship with Jesus, and we need to be here in the body. Like Scott said last week, right? You can't be a hand disconnected from the arm. It doesn't work that way. So here at Bethel, we developed a model for ministry. We want to listen and see how this pathway is woven through everything. We want to be intentional with how we gather. Mark talked about that. But the Grow Ministry, as we gathered as a team, we talked about our small group gatherings and wanted to be super intentional with what we do there based on what we saw here at our church that was going well and areas where we could improve. We recognize that there are three spheres that we actually gather in where discipleship happens, right? These large group gatherings where we hear teaching, small group gatherings, and those one-on-one relationships. And that's what we're trying to capture in the Grow Ministry. So we're asking in this ministry, we're looking at a ministry model that has us meeting weekly outside of the Sunday gathering. And we're not asking everyone for, believe me, we're not asking people for a huge commitment and another night at church just doing something. We're looking at something different. I've been a volunteer here, and I've been an intern here, and a trustee here, and now I'm on staff here. And I can say I have nothing but a desire to monitor our calendar, protect our time as we have it so that we can weave in rest. Right? Our Lord gave us rest, and we want to set that example in these small group ministries as we talk about growing as a disciple. We also want to weave in breaks like that so these ministries can be platforms where we go out and practice our faith like Scott was talking about. Go out and share the gospel, right, like Pastor Paul was talking about. So what are we doing as a church practically? I mean, get even deeper into it, not just the philosophy of it. Our desire, number one, was during any of the calendar season when we have small groups meeting, that there would be a specific Bible study or special class. Right? These classes are meant to be all ages. They're meant to be church-wide. They're open to everyone. And it's a chance for you to meet with some, you know, meet with other people and connect here at the church, but it will be more of a classroom setting. We're starting one on the 3rd here on Thursday night. We're going to be going through 1 Peter, and you're all formally invited, personally. You can all come, 7 p.m. That's going to be a good time. Our other ministries that we have here at church are our segment ministries, and that's kind of a confusing term, but all we're saying is segment groups, like our ladies' ministries on Friday and Sunday morning, our men's ministry on Tuesday nights, and our seniors who meet on Thursday. And these are the very groups that we looked at as groups that were operating very healthily here at the church. But the big one that Mark kind of led into this morning is this idea that we're trying to build a culture around community groups, right? The community groups are meant to be short and small weekly gatherings where we come together and chew on God's word as it was presented in the previous week's sermon, check in with each other in fellowship and pray. We've worked really hard to set a standard to keep these groups focused on these three values and not get away from the mission, right? And we want to be platforms to practicing our faith together. The cool thing, guys, is that we're slowly gaining, you know, we're gaining some steam on it. We have some groups meeting. We've had one full session meet so far this over the last year. I could tell you from my vantage point, I've seen things like life change in a matter of a couple weeks. Older saints speaking into younger saints' lives. People that know each other here at church and have been around forever, actually getting to know people that they've been rubbing shoulders with here. And again, people changing their minds about stuff in these community groups. And that's what we're here for. We're seeing it in Acts chapter 2, these people who gather together intentionally, day by day, house by house. Last week, Scott gave you a challenge, right? And he talked about the body. And he said, if you're serving in 4 or 5 areas in this church and you're gifted in one area, he challenged you to focus on one area and to step out of the others. I'm going to make the same challenge to you this week. If you're serving in this church or you're really busy with whatever you're doing here and you're too busy to get connected with people in one of these Grow ministries, I'm going to ask you to reevaluate your service and find a way to connect here. It's important because if we have zero interest in connecting together as people in this church, we have to start asking those questions like, what are we doing here, right? It's a hard question. So we should desire and want to have these traits in our life, these gifts of the Spirit. We should want to encourage each other. Studying for a sermon like this is super convicting in some areas of my life. I've got a great team of guys around me and people who are encouraging me all the time, and we need that fellowship. I'll step out a little farther into the Bethel waters, and I'm preaching to myself on this, right? I'm from a pretty large family here at the church. I'm going to ask everyone here, are you connected outside the comfort zone of your relatives? Right? Scott told you last week, you are unique and have a lot, and we need to all be exercising our gifts. I'd ask you to reach out to other parts of the body of Christ here. It's important. So that's my prayer, my challenge this week, that everyone in our membership here, everyone who attends here, is connected in some way, being part of our family. Right? We want to be a unified body. Using Scott's analogy from last week, right? We don't want to be limping, right, as we're disconnected. We want to be running as we proclaim the truth of Jesus and mature disciples for the glory of God here at Bethel Community Church. You should have a contact card in front of you that was handed out. Or there's a QR code. We love giving you QR codes. There's a QR code in your sermon notes. My challenge to you this week is to sign up for something. If you check online and you can't figure it out, come talk to me. Reach out to the office. That's our goal here this week, right, is to get connected and to reach out. We'll make it work one way or the other. I'm going to close this in prayer. I'll ask the worship team to come forward for our final song. Father God, we come before you this morning. Boy, there's a lot there, Lord. We're people who want to grow. We want to be disciples that are running that race that you've set before us, Lord, that we're not just idly sitting by. We want to be walking through this pathway of gathering together, practicing our faith together, growing together as we learn your word, and going out and sharing with others. Lord, we want to be strong for you. We want to respect that you are the author of our salvation and you are the author of our growth and sanctification. Lord, so we ask that we can rest in that this morning. But the big prayer, Lord, is that we be a church that loves each other and that gathers together in these meetings, Lord, to truly follow that command, Lord, that we love one another so that the world knows that we're yours, Lord. So we could be a church like Acts chapter 2 that has favor with the people because they desire what we have here. So we love you this morning, Lord. We ask that you bless our church as we move forward. And Lord, we just lift up this last song to you. In Jesus' name.